This morning, we're going to finish up on the Hope series. We've talked about hope's meaning. We've talked about the source of hope. And today, we're going to talk about hope's foundation, the foundation of hope. And if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start there. As we look at Hope's foundation this morning. You know, a characteristic of that really should distinguish Jesus followers from those who don't know Him should be people of hope. Christianity isn't just a different religion, a worldview, or a philosophy. It really offers hope to a world that desperately is lacking hope. We don't just offer a relationship, but also the hope that comes with that relationship. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we see some words that I believe are profound. And it says, in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The word sanctify means to make holy or to set apart spiritually. He's not telling us to educate ourselves or memorize certain scriptures so that you can explain it intelligently. Peter's saying here, there's a spiritual trigger. A spiritual trigger that will cause people to ask you what it is. When he says be prepared, he's talking about having Jesus sanctified or set apart in your life so that it, in such a way that it creates a characteristic or a trigger that draws unbelievers to that trigger. And of course, that trigger is hope. It's hope. Hope is a trigger that draws them. When they see hope, it draws them. Let me ask you a question this morning, and you answer it for yourself. Is Jesus sanctified as the Lord in your heart? Is Jesus sanctified as the Lord in your heart? You see, Peter's saying, if we have hope from the God of hope, if we act like it, if we think like it, and if we talk like we have it, then people will see the hope in us, and they'll want it too. Why? Because we live in a hopeless world. And anyone that exudes hope, it'll be obvious. Of course, then you're prepared, or you should be prepared, to explain to them who and what that hope is, right? Who and what that hope is. But let me say something this morning along with this question. When I say, is the Lord sanctified? Is He set apart in your heart as Lord? And it's something I see a lot of, but we can't walk with one foot in the world and one foot in God. We just can't do it. It doesn't work. And I see Christians trying over and over again to accomplish it. It doesn't work. And I'll tell you something else. Just as we live and talk and think and act like we have that hope of the God of hope that we claim a relationship with as a Christian, just as they see that, unbelievers also see when we have one foot in God and one foot in the world. They see that too. The point is this. Hope is to mark out our lives as different. Hope should mark out our lives as different. Different than those that don't have hope. You see, we can have all the verses memorized. We can know all the outreach techniques. We can be able to speak a fluent Christianese. Everybody know what that is? We can be passionate about people. But if desperate people don't see evidence of something different than what they already know, then we're wasting hope. We're wasting it. See, in Jesus, we have real hope. When people first see it, they might think it's strange because it goes against the worldview. But the world is starving. The world is starving for hope, and men and women will be drawn to it. What is it? It's Jesus. Jesus is the hope. Now, it won't look like Jesus to them in the beginning. It just looks like hope. Man, they got hope. What is it? But then the door is open when they're drawn for them to see what Jesus looks like in a person. And then they'll be open to meeting him personally. Do you know what people fear most in life? Death. That's what most people fear. Death. Why? I suppose it's because it's the one thing we can't beat. There's two kinds of death. There's physical death, and then there's spiritual death. And we can't beat either one of them in and of ourselves. Death is our one, to mankind, is our one true enemy. The one true great enemy we have is death. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to see it in the English Standard Version. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's profound. Let's just leave that there for a second, Morgan. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again, to come into a relationship, to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. We've been born again to what? A living hope. A hope that lives. Not a hope that's buried, that's tucked in your pocket, under your coat, that's hidden. A living hope. But what's that living hope? Where does it come through? It came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what our hope is in. If there was no resurrection, there's no hope. If there's no resurrection, if there was no resurrection, then there is no hope. But there was a resurrection. And here's the truth I want you to see this morning. Because our one true great enemy is death, here's the truth you need to capture this morning and have buried deep in your heart. Jesus conquered death on our behalf. That's right. Jesus conquered death. That's right. On our behalf. You see, the reason Jesus came was to address the problem of death, both physical and spiritual. Because we're all going to face a physical death. And we all are born into physical, spiritual death. But He came to address both of those. He came to address the physical death in that while we live, we can live with hope. But the spiritual death, when we die, He conquered that physical death with spiritual life. Because you see, when we die, the only thing that's over is our physical life. Our spiritual life continues. Jesus conquered death on our behalf. He came to address the problem of death for us so that we could have hope. And when Jesus conquered death, here's what He did. He replaced fear with hope. with hope. He replaced fear with hope. Turn back to the left a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 26 first, and then 54 through 57. First Corinthians 15. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Morgan, can we put that up? I want to read the English Standard. Here's verse 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. What's the last thing we face in this life? Death. Okay. And look at verse 54. When the perishable, that's these bodies, this life, puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? You see, Jesus conquered death. He conquered death. He conquered that spiritual death, which is the final. The last thing we face is physical death. But with spiritual death, he conquered that. We live on. We live on. We'll be resurrected again. We'll look at that in a minute. You see, here's the thing we need to realize these scriptures are telling us. First of all, hope's foundation is the resurrection. The resurrection is the foundation of hope, as I said earlier. Hope's foundation is the resurrection. Morgan, go ahead and jump to the next slide. Hope's foundation is the resurrection. And the second thing the scripture tells us is believers in Christ can live and die with hope. Believers in Christ can live and die in hope.
Amen.
Now you say, Pastor, how's that possible? Real hope's based on and has its foundation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, while we live, we have hope. We have hope knowing that God's got it. We have hope knowing that this life is not the end. We just don't go through this life and struggle through and then die and that's it. We have hope that there's hope after this life. So when we live, we have hope. But when we come to our deathbed, when we come to our last breath, we can still have hope. Because that's when real life, eternal life begins, when this life ends. And so, rather, both in living and dying, the Christian can have hope. The Christian has hope. And the hope of the resurrection changes a couple of things. It changes two perspectives in our life, or at least it should. The first perspective it changes is how we view life and death. How we view life and death. You know, for people with this hope, the hope of the resurrection, no longer is death the end. Now, do we still grieve when we lose a loved one? Of course, it hurts when we lose someone near and dear. But you see, Christians have an advantage. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Back to your right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to see this. This is telling us that there really is hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Can everybody say Thessalonians? Okay, say it 10 times real fast. Never mind. Everybody be speaking in tongues in here, trying to say that all at once. Verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, meaning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who have died. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, those that are still breathing, walking, talking, remain alive until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's hope. There's hope. You see, for people with this hope, it changes our perspective of death. Do we still feel the pain and loss? Yes. But it doesn't overwhelm or consume us. We grieve, but as the scripture just said here, not like those who have no hope. And let me say something about that. I've done a lot of funerals over the years, even before I became a pastor. And it's amazing. There's an amazing difference between a funeral for a person or family that doesn't know Christ and those that do. I mean, you can just see the difference. You can, that whole atmosphere is different. The heaviness in one is so great in the darkness, and yet the lightness and the joy and the peace is so evident in the believer, in a believer's funeral. And I'm going to tell you as a pastor, it's tough to do a funeral for someone that you have no knowledge that they knew the Lord. And there's no apparent evidence that they knew the Lord. No one. It's tough. It's hard. It's hard for the family. You know why? Because you can see the hopelessness. There's no hope. But Scripture assures us that a reunion is coming for those with hope. You see, your earthly relationships may be interrupted only for a time, because the resurrection gives us hope, even in the midst of our sorrow. The second perspective that the hope of the resurrection changes is that the Christian life gives a future perspective. You see, most people's perspective is just on life today. Life here and now and whatever's right down the road. But with the Christian life gives a future perspective when we're living and believing in that hope. It gives a perspective of a future. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. What's Paul saying there? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are the most of all men to be pitiable. You see, what he's saying is, if your hope is only just in this life, that's pitiful. That's pitiful because, man, I'm looking forward to the next life because I know it's better than this life. It's not that I'm miserable, but I just know it's so much more better. Incomparable. So he's saying for the Christian, if you only have hope just for, your hope is in Christ just for now to get through and die and be out of your misery, he said you're the most to be pitied. If we are that way. You see, the Christian life on earth is not just about what happens while we're here. Although it's significant, it's very significant. But if we're all about If all we're about is the here and now, Paul says that's the most pitiful thing of all. We're the most pitiful people of all if it's just about the here and now. You see, some people say, I've heard it said, even if there's no heaven, even if there's no heaven after this life, I'm still happy following Jesus while I'm here because life's much better. You know, at first that sounds pretty good. But in reality, it's pitiful because it's living for the here and now. And you have no more hope than unbelievers. Because when this life is over, their hope is done. For the unbeliever, there is no hope. That's like saying, when you say that, that's like saying the end is the same for everybody. And it's not. Because that kind of thinking negates the whole complete truth of the gospel. The Christian should be living effectively for Jesus in this life because of the hope that he has or she has for eternity. Life after death. Eternal life. Otherwise, the resurrection is meaningless. And the truth remains that Jesus conquered our greatest enemy. And he helps us face the struggles and challenges of this life. So we got the best of both worlds, don't we? You see, that's why the resurrection is the foundation of our hope. Jesus didn't just come to the earth just to heal a lot of people and bring a lot of people around to follow him and then die. He was raised from the dead, so there's something more. So that when we die, there's something more. After our death, our physical death. Titus 3. Turn to Titus 3 over to the right in your Bible, or I'm not sure which direction you go on your electronic devices, but go there. Titus chapter 3. If I can get through this, I'm going to get me a new Bible to preach with. Here it is. 4 through 7. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Through the washing of regeneration, the transformation, regeneration of our spirit, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's a big promise. That's huge. And we need to take a hold of that. God's kindness and love is why Christ came to rescue us from ourselves, from our sin, so we could have hope of eternal life with Him. Now that's a promise. It's a promise that can be yours by turning to Christ in faith, asking for and accepting His forgiveness. And along with His forgiveness, His hope. You see, if you already know Jesus, I want to ask you another question. If you already know Jesus, how real is His hope to you? How real is His hope to you? See, hope is filled with grace. A life-changing reality that changes perspective and approach to living. To the way we live life. Yes, there are times when we wonder where hope is. Anybody? Well, I'll fess up. I'll be honest, sometimes I wonder. But it's usually because I need to go back and reassure myself with His promises. There are times when we wonder where hope is, but the bottom line is this: we can always trust the God of hope. He's always there, and His mercy endures forever. Worship team, would you come on up? I want you to think about that. Question: if you already know Jesus, how real is His hope to you? How real is His hope to you? When you're in conversation with people, especially unbelievers, do they sense hope in you? Do they hear hope from you? Do they see hope in you? Hope is a life-changing reality. It changes our perspective. Hope's foundation is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our hope is in that same Jesus Christ. That's where hope comes from. Through a relationship with Him, what we call salvation. The Bible calls salvation. Do you have hope this morning? Let's pray together. You know, when the Israelites stood at the edge of the Red Sea, watching the waters rush in front of them, and they looked back and the Egyptian armies closing in on them from behind, Moses called out to them, "Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today." And for us today, the Lord's saying the same thing. Do not be afraid. Stand and see my salvation, which I will accomplish for you today. You know, there's one thing every human really wants in their heart of hearts. That's hope. If you can be honest with yourself today, as you sit here right now, do you have real hope? Do you have this hope? If you don't, do you understand that it's available to you? Here, today, now, right where you sit? Jesus. And He's available to you today, right where you sit. But it's your choice. If you don't have that hope, it's your choice to receive that hope. And I pray that you will today, if you don't have it. I pray that you'll throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. Just tell Him you need Him. You want Him. You believe Him. You receive Him. Ask Him for His forgiveness. And receive His hope this morning. It's here. And it's real. Maybe you're a Christian today and you haven't been walking in hope. Maybe you've been walking with one foot in the world and one foot in God. And all that is a mirage. It's not real. It doesn't work. Maybe you take a sidestep and get both feet in God's presence. Whatever He's speaking to you today, the altar's open. If you need someone to help you pray to receive Christ today, there's people around that'll help you. I'll help you. If you just need someone to pray for you, for whatever it may be, don't hold back this morning. Don't hold back. Don't leave here without hope, because you don't have to. Father, we thank You today that there is hope. Even though we live in what appears to be a hopeless world, there's still hope. There's hope for every person. And God, we thank you that we can have hope. We don't have to trust in our surroundings. We don't have to trust in ourselves and our abilities. We don't have to trust in the things of the world. We can just have hope because we trust in the real hope, the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for him today. We thank you that we have that access to him. We thank you that we have the hope of not only this life and living it with him, but we can have the hope of eternal life and living it with him when this life is over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. What an awesome thing you've given us. God, I pray you stir in us. Those who are believers, stir in us an urgency and a sensitivity to take that hope to others, to just live it out so others can see it, that they'll be drawn to it, and then to be prepared to give the reason for our hope, to be prepared to share what that hope is, who he is. The world needs hope. And Jesus brings it through the church. Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Thank you for your presence in our life every day, in every way. And Father, we just ask you to move in our hearts, move in our lives as we worship you and seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to remind you of those, the connection point. I'd like everybody to complete one of those. There's a place on the back to fill the, put a prayer request or anything, any information you need to convey to us on the back of that connection point. Again, if you're visiting with us today, fill it out, take it to the desk at the cafe and the welcome desk, and we just want to give you a thank you gift. If you're watching by internet, you can send in your prayer request or you can share anything through that avenue you like to through our website. You can access us there. Ushers, if you'll come and receive the tithes and offerings this morning, please.